I had a chance to go visit daughters over the weekend, which meant that I went to the Atlanta Braves game since they live up there.
Nice.
I enjoy that immensely. So we are settling back in now with not one but two new preseason college football magazines in Lindy's SEC, and also have got Athlon National Magazine. Now, they will, Phil Steele is basically done with his, and matter of fact, he's signing autographs like Thursday, so that means that we should get Phil next week, certainly by the 4th of July. It used to be they didn't come out until the 4th of July or afterwards. Now you've got just about every one of them by then, which is nice. But we got credentials for SEC Football Media Days in Atlanta. That just came just a day or so ago. So things are kind of winding down as they normally would this time of year.
And there's still a lot of buildup just for this college football season in general, as you mentioned, with Lindy's and Athlon, and then Phil Steele coming out with the magazines. Is there anything that you've noticed in looking at the Lindy's ones or any of the others in particular that you've noticed that's maybe a little bit different or something that stood out based on their predictions or where they have a certain team at?
Pretty much the ratings are similar. I mean, like, Miami is 14 in Lindy's, and they are 20 in Athlon. So that's a little bit different, but the top 10 are basically the same. Both of them have got Alabama, Georgia. Both of them have got Clemson and Miami winning their respective divisions. So there's more, I would say, NIL, more transfer portal stuff than obviously it ever was. But other than that, it was pretty typical.
I'm looking. I don't think we have. I haven't ran by Barnes and Noble today, but I know that Athlon may be out. It got the Lindy's ones got here a little bit later than when you got them. But looking forward to having that one as well. Well, one of the big storylines around college football, as well, is Arch Manning and the sweepstakes for him. He has recently visited Georgia. What was at Alabama, and of course, all the fans love to see Arch in their respective jerseys. Georgia, Bama, and Texas seem to be the top three, Brent, but do you get the feeling that we're overhyping Arch a little bit because of the name, or do you really think that he is as legit a quarterback as he is at least projected to be?
I think he's that good. Frankly, now that doesn't mean that he's the only quarterback out there right now for the upcoming Eli Holstein from Louisiana that Alabama has gotten a commitment from.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's as good as Arch. Now, Arch is a basketball player, and he obviously will get good advice from his family, and that's going to be a family decision all around. I think he'll be I think he'll be very good. I don't know if he will be a generational quarterback, but he is. I mean, he's pretty much what you expect, I think, from the name and all that goes with it. So I think whoever gets him will be doing well. I mean, it still looks like it's Alabama, Georgia, Texas at this point. So I don't think anyone else is going to come in and I think he'll go through his visits. I mean, he'll visit and has those three. I wonder if he will visit Florida.
Yeah.
Because the family thinks a lot of Billy Napier, and we'll see where that it goes. But right now, he will, every visit, every move he makes will be talked about, written about.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what program he goes to. Is there one that you think he would be better off, or that he would maybe better off landing at? With Holstein going to Alabama, I personally would say Georgia, just because you've got Stetson Bennett there. He's likely going to be on his way out after this year anyways. They do one last ride, and then Arch could be that guy right away next year at Georgia, as opposed to having some sort of a battle, whether it be with Ty Simpson, Eli Holstein and himself, or and then also Texas with Quinn Ewers there. Now, we don't know how good he actually is, but in terms of maybe playing time purposes, however he holds that close to his heart, I think Georgia may be the better option out of the three, I guess.
Maybe. Now, Georgia's got, frankly, their own quarterback room that, I mean, is that going to be an issue? I think there's a chance, frankly, that it will. I mean, they, to their credit, Georgia has recruited well. I mean, Stetson Bennett, we think, is actually leaving this year. But you've got Carson Beck, who is listed as a sophomore, also.
Right.
And, you know, you've got, I think, several other different guys, Gunnar Stockton, Brock Vandergriff. I mean, those guys, I'm not going to say they were as heralded as Arch, because, and they weren't, but I don't know. That's a good question. He's like all the rest of them. He wants to go where he can win a national championship, go to the NFL, be developed, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And obviously with that family name, winning a national championship would absolutely be something quite awesome. Jumping to college baseball. The number one story, I think, from this weekend from that perspective is Tennessee getting stunned by Notre Dame, number one team in the country. You think, oh yeah, they're going to make it to the College World Series. They're playing in Knoxville, but Notre Dame beat them pretty good in the first game. Tennessee comes back and completely dismantles them, and then Notre Dame find a way to just run away with it at the end. How much of a shocking win is this for Notre Dame and to knock off Tennessee, where they broke the school record in wins for a season? They were fourth all time, I believe, in home runs this year. I mean, they broke tons of records and were a part of a lot of history, but they don't even make it to the College World Series.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, it's a fascinating story in a lot of ways, that they lose to Notre Dame 2 out of 3 and give up double-digit runs with the pitching staff as good as they are. Drew, something's really got to be has to be said, and I think done, about where they are and with their attitude. I mean, I get some bravado, some confidence, but the reality of it is what they did over the weekend, I think, is a microcosm of where their head is. They get a player that cusses out the umpire, and he's shocked that he's thrown out of the game.
Right.
And the other thing, I don't know if you saw this or not, they had a guy, one of their players hit a home run, and instead of just flipping the bat, he slams the bat down on the ground. And that is their decorum, how they handle themselves left a lot to be desired. And Drew, I'm telling you, when you listen, when you've got that kind of demeanor, and it kind of reminds you of the Penn State and Miami, when Miami came off the plane and the fatigues, and they had that swagger that they did at that time. Mm-hmm. If you don't back that up by winning, you're going to pay for it. Now, Miami didn't because we didn't have social media then, but boy, Tennessee is. Tennessee's going to be a meme for about anything and everything that you can think of right now over the next few months, and people just ridiculing them, frankly. So, man, oh, man. Great. Look, and there's no doubt, great team in so many ways. But I think, Drew, I think they lost a lot of favor, and they lost a lot of what they gained by just how they acted during the season. But man alive, losing two of three to Notre Dame, who, by the way, the Notre Dame coach is an FSU alumnus. And there's some talk that LSU may try to get him. But can we also? I'm going a bit long here, but that still doesn't take away from what Ole Miss and Arkansas and possibly Auburn if they win later tonight.
Yeah, and
Arkansas.
Right. I think too. So you mentioned the bat slam. I had forgotten about that. And then also the player who,
yeah.
I don't think it wasn't in this series, but the guy was given the middle finger to players out in the outfield after he either hit a home run or got some sort of a base hit. And it's like, guys,
right.
You know, you have players who are cussing out umpires. You're giving the middle finger to other players. I mean, there's a certain way that you handle yourself, and it's good to be confident, and it's good to have that charisma, I guess, and some swagger, but. When you come across as very disrespectful to other players and to the umpires, I feel like there were many, many people who were quite satisfied in seeing them lose to Notre Dame, which we really don't see too often. A lot of people they go against Notre Dame, but it seemed like a lot of people were rooting for the Irish yesterday, and by golly, they actually got the job done. But I don't know if karma is a real thing. I don't necessarily believe in that, but if there was karma, then karma hit Tennessee because of all the stuff that they've done. And really, I think too, Brent, I can finish with this. I think it's one to have confidence and stuff, and it's one to be a little bit disrespectful, but in a way, when you disrespect the game itself as well, and that's where you definitely push the button too far, which, I mean, in golf, we have players who slam the clubs and tennis players who slam rackets, but when you're abusing the game for what it is, I think that goes to show you. I don't know if it's the way that they're coached, but the way that they handle themselves as a team, I think was something that was pretty embarrassing.
Well, look, I don't think there's any doubt as to the way they were coached. I mean, look, he's a very good coach, but I mean they basically rub people's face in it.
Mm.
Is what they do. Now you've got if you want to compare them. You've got a situation with Alabama that wins national championships, and you certainly don't see their players behaving like that. Because I can tell you this: if that had happened with a Saban player giving the finger or cussing out the official or something of that nature. Drew, the kid wouldn't even be on the team anymore, virtually. So,
oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I hope they learned something from that situation. And frankly, they needed to be called out. And I'm with you. I don't know what you call it, karma or whatever. But they were out of control this year. And my concern for them would have been – Drew, where they'd have been more, even more in control than Omaha.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I think they would have as well. Well, Brent, appreciate the time as always. You have a good rest of the week, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about some more college baseball as all these teams are getting rounded up and as to who's going to Omaha or not, and some of the more stuff with the magazines and stuff as well. You have a good week, and I'll talk to you next week, Brent. Thank you.
Okay, bud. Take care.
Thank you very much. Again, Brent Beard, co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast, college football analyst.